Like, it shouldn't, again, come as a surprise. Shared expectations. Look, kids, when you turn 25, we're not doing the gift thing anymore. Or some people do it with having the whole family and they draw straws and everybody gets one person and they're responsible for that person.
Let's peek inside the mind of a boomer. This is Boomer Randomness, a podcast dedicated to the baby boom generation with random observations about boomer life from boomers, including topics like music, movies, memories, marriage and divorce, retirement, bucket lists, kids and grandkids, travel, and a whole lot more. Here's your boomer host, Bernie Lucas.
So the winter holidays are supposed to be a time for fun with family and friends. Sometimes, however, the holidays are a time of stress, overscheduling, and overeating. Here to help us survive the holidays is clinical psychologist Dr. Cynthia Post. Good to see you, and happy holidays, Cindy.
Good to see you too, Bernie. Happy holidays.
Thank you. So we're recording this at the beginning of Hanukkah. The Christmas holidays are in full swing. The Indian celebration Diwali is behind us. The African-American celebration of Kwanzaa is ahead of us. Baby boomers have lived through and celebrated these holidays for six or seven decades, but things are quite different than when we grew up.
That's so, for sure.
Yeah. And we're both boomers, and this is the Boomer Randomness podcast, so we're looking at it through the boomer filter, but we're not the kids anymore. So most of us are now parents or even grandparents, and sometimes we can be sad or even depressed because the holiday season just doesn't match up to how we felt as kids. How do we navigate those mismatched feelings?
Well, first of all, what you said is just so important to state out loud, because I think one of the things that catches up families in a really tough pickle or knot or some kind of difficult image that you can conjure up is the lack of kind of awareness and preparation and planning for the change. So it's a developmental change. And if you're fortunate enough or wish to have children and they grow up as they're supposed to do, then the thankless job of parenting part is to wish them well and send them on their way. And I say thankless, we're supposed to be happy about this, but quietly, most parents are a bit wistful. It's a bit sad. And one of the side effects of their new position in the backseat, not in the literal driver's seat, driving their kids here and, you know, here and there, is that we're in the backseat of their lives. And it doesn't mean it's an uncomfortable backseat. It need not be. But some of that is, it's inevitable that sometimes it will land in a hurtful way. It's inevitable that some of their thinking about what they want to do for themselves may or may not include us at all. Or if it includes us, it might include us in a more limited way. And for this, guess what, Bernie? We're supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
Because it means that they are well adjusted, that they have their own lives. And actually, if we really think about it, it would be a bit odd if your adult child wanted to spend all their time with the next generation up. That would be a bit strange. And when I say we're supposed to be happy, I mean we're supposed to be happy for their advancing years and their developing life. Some of these things can genuinely be injuring. And finding out how to navigate this in a tactful way that doesn't blow up the holiday, which is also a sadness. You don't see them much. And I promise to stop talking in a minute. You don't see them much.
It's okay.
I have so much to say on this topic.
Sure.
You don't see them much and you don't want to blow up the holiday, but neither do you want to be simmering and stewing, because you know what? We communicate in lots of ways. We communicate verbally and non-verbally. And so if we're upset, then they're going to pick up on that. And skillfully navigating the holidays in a proactive way is my wish for all this holiday and every holiday.
Yeah, it can be an interesting challenge, and not something we necessarily were prepared for growing up.
That's the thing. Boomers thought of, we're the youngins. Uh-huh. We're not old fogies. We're the young people. And now guess what? Don't tell anyone, Bernie. We're old now.
Yeah.
In terms of how people think about baby boomers, they're older. They're over 50. And that means that they're not That's why they call it over the hill. I don't mean it in a disparaging way. It's just the truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're past the 50-yard line, to use a football analogy.
That's right.
Yeah. So traditions change and our roles change along with them. So boomers might be on second or even third marriages, and maybe the spouses are from different religions or different cultures. What are some ways to deal with the different expectations of how to celebrate the various holidays?
I'm going to sound like a broken record today, I'm afraid. But again, prophylactically discussing, talking about it, not demonstrating it with upset or surprise because it's been discussed. So in our culture, we celebrate Diwali, and here's what we do and here's how we do it. And we welcome you to join us in this. And we're very curious about what you do in your culture with Christmas in the United States, or with your Jewish background, or whatever it happens to be. And that there's interest, there's curiosity, there's empathy and respect for those important rituals that bring families together and are such an important thread of culture. So that's what I would say, that we talk about it in advance with the family, that there's open discussion, that people get to ask for what they want in a respectful way, that it doesn't just sort of happen and you don't even know what's going on. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Or that one thing overrides the other thing. So right now we're talking a lot about partnered adult children. It also applies to adult children in different ways as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which sets of parents or grandparents do they spend their time with, and they have their own kids? It can be a complicated
thing. Right. So there's the couple and how to navigate and have their own space, because it's supposed to be that they have a parent to the other, and this is their limited holiday time, and it's spent just accommodating other people. And then the other thing is, at the other end of it, the boomers racing to reach all their children, and nobody's coming to them anymore. They're now, so at one end, you're racing to your parents. And now what I see with boomers, which is a wonderful new development, is that if they're kind of awake parents, they're trying to support their adult children. So they're going to them sometimes and sharing that responsibility at holidays. Yeah. That wasn't true when we were growing up.
No.
And that's just a new important shift.
Yeah. And I think sometimes just talking this stuff out in advance, and I know just from you and I have been doing interviews along these lines for a long time. And it's like, I guess another way to say what you typically say here is managing expectations.
Yes, that's the phrase. And I say it again and again and again in so many situations. And most things that I see in the world and in families, in subgroups and friendships, have to do with poorly managed expectations and basic misunderstanding just about facts. You said you were meeting me in front of the museum at 2. No, I said I was meeting you at the parking lot at 1:30. How does that happen? I don't know, but it's the beginning of a very devolving negative experience at the museum that day. I can tell you that.
Sounds like there's some personal experience in that. So the pressure of gifts, as kids in a somewhat typical nuclear family back in the 60s or 70s with two or three siblings, gift giving seemed to me at least to be fairly simple. Parents gave kids each a present. Kids gave mom and dad a present each. Maybe there's some gift exchanging with grandparents or cousins or a few friends. Now, in these settings, we've got parents, step-parents, kids, step-kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, cousins, friends, lots of different blendings here. What are some ways to get through the pressure of what gifts to buy and who to buy them for?
And whether to buy them.
Yeah.
I mean, like as an example, a couple of my dear friends have said, hey, could we cut out the Christmas fruit box that's sent? Can we just donate in each other's names? I'm like, wow, what a great idea. So, you know, who really needs that box of oranges or that, you know, little cute thing for the Christmas tree? Really, who needs that? I mean, there's so many people less fortunate, and to be even in a position to be giving or receiving gifts is something to consider. And of course, little kids, holidays are all about little kids, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or any of these holidays, Diwali, Kwanzaa. The idea that, is there a cutoff for kids getting gifts? And can that be understood in families without it being offensive? Like, it shouldn't, again, come as a surprise, shared expectations. Look, kids, when you turn 25, we're not doing the gift thing anymore. Or some people do it with having the whole family and they draw straws and everybody gets one person and they're responsible for that person. So there are lots of different ways to do it. The most important thing is that it be discussed and agreed upon in some sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate to see the holidays, though, and I just said it a minute ago with donations, getting overridden with retail, the retail climate. In one way, we're building our economy and boosting it at the holidays, which right. we certainly need. But in another way, what about helping out at the homeless shelter? What about providing food or blankets or donating all your old coats and making it a point to have that be your family ritual? You know, how much of that's going on now? I hope a lot.
Yeah.
I think certainly it is in some circles, but how can you promote it? How can you reinforce it? If you're going to send a gift to the next generation, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea.
This is the Boomer Randomness Podcast.
Ho, ho, ho. I'm Bernie Lucas. We're talking with clinical psychologist Dr. Cynthia Post about surviving the holidays. So some boomers in their 60s or 70s might be single or widowed and might be spending the holidays alone. What are some ways to cope with that loneliness when everyone else around us is celebrating something?
Well, I guess I'm a big believer in planning forward. Oh, you know what? I'm going to have that long weekend. Christmas is on Monday. New Year's Day is on Monday. Wow, I better really be thinking about how do I want to spend my time? Is there somebody I want to be with? Do I know any other people that are going to be alone? So that's one thing. You can let it be known to the relatives who may not always think of it. You know, I'm going to be alone this Christmas. And hey, folks, anybody who wouldn't mind another person at the table, I'd sure love to join. You know, or you can host a Friendsgiving or a Friends Christmas with all the single people you know. Another great way to spend holidays is to, again, sign up to volunteer somewhere. There's plenty of opportunities for that.
Yeah.
And it makes people feel better on a day when you might be inclined to feel a bit sorry for yourself, like I'm alone, I don't have anything to do. Woe is me, which is, by the way, woe is me gets underrated. Everybody has a right to feel their sadness and feel their feelings. I don't want it to sound like I'm saying you shouldn't have a pity party. It's not pity. It's sadness for the self. And we deserve to be sad for ourselves when there's something missing in our lives that we regret or we are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody's died. Maybe there's been a divorce. Who knows what the reason could be? But it's okay to feel that feeling. But where I draw the line on that, Bernie, is I really encourage people not to sit in that. Like, even if you're totally alone and there's not a damn thing you can do about that, how about just get up early? Make a day of it. Oh, you know what? It looks like lovely weather. I think I'll bundle up and go for a walk. Or, oh, I've been really wanting to see that movie. I think I'll go check that out and make myself a lovely meal for dinner. Or I'll order out that food I've been wanting to order out. You know, make it a special day for yourself. So there's a few ideas.
Yeah, very good. Couple of more things. A lot of holidays, well, most of them at least have an origin in some kind of religious activity. And so there's a lot of religious services. In the case of blended families of different religious backgrounds and traditions, how do we negotiate which way to celebrate? And I bet I know the answer.
Well, you're right. Planning forward. You're right. Yeah. At clarifying expectations. Yeah. Certainly in blended families with children below the age of 18, if there are established traditions in each part of the family, maybe one person is Catholic, the other person is Jewish, you know, there may be kind of like a nod toward, you know what, we're going to do our own thing with each branch, but it might be nice that each parent on the other side that's part of the blended family would join the other parent, like the parent who's Jewish, that the other parent, even if it's a step parent, would stand there and do the candles and participate and show interest. And similarly, maybe the other person who's going to midnight mass, that they join them. And that you don't require your children from different backgrounds to be forced to do that. I'm not a really big believer in that. Some people think oh, if we're part of the family, we should all do it together. I think it's more like an option, like you're invited if you want to join us, and there might be some interesting things to learn here about this, but no need to do that if you don't feel like doing it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Because in blended families, you know, kids don't choose this situation. They've just adopted this whole new story. Perhaps new step siblings, perhaps a new step parent. They didn't get to be part of that choice. They didn't get to be part of the fact that now we celebrate Hanukkah too. A little regard for younger people helps them be more motivated. I think when people try to force their kids, it goes less well.
So one more big topic here.
Okay.
It's the holidays. We're eating, we're drinking. Any tips on making sure those things don't get out of hand?
Well, you can help each other in the group. And certainly people who know that they have problems with overeating and know that they can drink too much or maybe even have a problem with it, those things need to be handled in a very deliberate way. So people who go to OA, Overeaters Anonymous, should step up their meetings. People who are in AA need to plan forward about how to participate in the holiday. I'm a big believer in bring your own car. Have your own way of getting in and out of there if you're feeling overwhelmed. If eating is an issue and you find it easier to eat in advance, go ahead and do it. Same thing with drinking. If maybe you want to come prepared with your non-alcoholic whatever so that you have something in your hand if you're not drinking. And you don't need to announce these things. You can quietly attend to yourself in a way that feels comfortable. You can also give yourself sort of certain limits. I get to go through the buffet line only once. That's it. And that doesn't mean I'm piling my plate so high that it's embarrassing. And maybe you structure it so that you're already plenty full before you come. Yeah. So that's one thing. And then where drinking is concerned, maybe there's a cutoff. Maybe you say, you know, there really isn't a need for more than maybe two drinks in the evening. But that presumes that you don't have a problem with either eating or drinking. When it comes to both of those, you have to kind of handle it more carefully.
Well, one optional question, if you don't mind, this was a personal one, but do you celebrate Hanukkah? And if so, how is it different at this age than when you were a kid?
How is it different for me?
Yeah.
So, you know, I did and do in more of a symbolic way celebrate it. As a child, you know, the candles were all there, all different colored candles, and each person had a day of the week that they could hold the Shamus candle and light the candles, and you would say the song, you know, the Hanukkah song as the prayer. Mm-hmm. And then every year in our family there was a large family gathering, extended family, where we would share the Hanukkah story and go around the table, and each person would have a different part in sharing the Hanukkah story. So it was, and that continued on well into adulthood. That ritual has changed as some people, elders have died, but it was very meaningful to participate in that way. And then we had more of a, what did they call it? A white horse thing where everybody puts one gift in there and you take your number and you pick your gift. That was kind of how we handled it as adults.
Yeah.
As children, we always made sure 8 days, 8 presents.
Right. I grew up Catholic, and
I was just going to say, what was that like?
Yeah, and so we had a ritual until I moved out at around age 19 or so. As a family, we had a whole thing about we would go to church in the morning at a certain time. And then we would come home, and I think, I'll have to clarify this with my sister because we have different memories of the same thing, but I think we then maybe ate a breakfast and then did presents. And it was fairly simple. You know, we each had a couple and we had some for our parents. And then I don't remember, sometimes we went to other family things on Christmas Day and other times we didn't.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it was fairly simple. And I've had so many changes over the decades since that time. But currently, you know, with, you know, my new marriage, although we've been together for a long time, we now have some established things related to Christmas Eve.
So,
And so I look forward to that. You know, I mean, we have changed the gift thing a bit. And we're still working on that one, getting a consensus
It takes time, doesn't it?
It's
complicated to make sure everybody understands and is reasonably comfortable. But be clear, just because you communicate doesn't mean everybody loves the plan.
Right.
Especially younger people. What do you mean I'm cut off at 25?
Yeah. Well, and we have a grandbaby and a grandson in the mix now. And so the focus is really, it'll be easier this year, I think, because the focus will be more on them, especially the grandbaby who's 2.5 now. And she's really understanding some more, at least about the Santa Claus aspect of Christmas. And she's really liking it, you know, and she's,
that's neat.
You know, and then, the 8 month old, that's, you know, he doesn't know what's going on, but he's a pretty happy baby. So,
well, that's good.
So the focus is more in that direction now. And that, I like that. That's pretty cool.
That's neat.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on everything we've talked about?
Assume the best of people and lead with kindness. And have a happy holiday. Make it a happy holiday. Don't get caught on the bumps. There are always bumps when people get together. The more we have to negotiate, the more opportunity for bumps and hurt. Don't get caught there.
Very good. All right. Well, Dr. Cynthia Post, clinical psychologist and friend, happy holidays and thanks for
happy holidays.
And if someone wants to get more information about you, what's your website?
CynthiaPostPhD.com.
Hey, here's what's coming up on Boomer Randomness.
I'm Bernie Lucas. Thanks, as always, for visiting the Boomer Randomness podcast. We upload new episodes on Tuesdays now, one per week. Working on a little more holiday stuff and a whole segment about women. So visit us again. Thanks.
Learn more about Boomer Life and sign up for episode updates at BoomerRandomness.com. And check us out on the Boomer Randomness Facebook. Okay, Boomer, thanks for listening, and tell everyone you know about Boomer Randomness.